Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, beautiful people. Welcome to a Wednesday edition of the program. Soak is out. Will Peterson is in of DenverSports.com. And Will, we got a ton to do today. It is going to be an exciting show, and we're grateful everybody is here rocking with us. We rock with you 10 to 2. A couple ways to join us and be a part of the show. It is for you. So join us on the RamosLaw.com text line 303-713-1043 or watch the show over on Twitch, twitch.tv/DenverSportsCom, where you can hang out there in the chat room as well. What an evening. Tuesday night of sports for Colorado was beautiful last night. A clean sweep. Will, Avs got the dub. Perfect on the road trip. Nuggets got the dub. They stay red hot post All-Star break, but we start with the Rams, who dominated in Dayton to move on. They handled their business against the boring, bad, awful, eye-bleeding, boring Virginia Cavaliers. But Nate Clifford, Joel Scott, hat tip to those young fellas. They handled their business last night, Will.
Yeah, what a fun night in Denver sports all around. We will obviously get into all three teams, but you're right, man. When you hold a team to 14 points at halftime and they go 51 minutes in real time between buckets.
Nuts.
And more than 14 minutes in game time between buckets, your defense is smothering. And we can talk today about how embarrassing Virginia is and how Virginia didn't belong in the dance and how the committee screwed it up and how if you're one of those bubble teams, St. John's or Indiana State or Pittsburgh or whoever, you're sitting on your couch last night throwing stuff at your TV, you can't believe the Cavaliers got in. But we also have to give the Rams credit because they played smothering defense and they are very good at making teams wait until the end of the shot clock. And Virginia's offense is designed to go to the end of the shot clock, and that created this perfect storm of 14 points at halftime. They shoot 25% from the field from the game. And Josh, after, frankly, the first 3 minutes of the second half, once the Rams went on the 8-0 run, it was over.
It was.
And it is rare in March that with 17 minutes to go in a basketball game, you can just put your feet up and go, hey, look, my team moved on. That was fun.
It was nice for us, too. I'm like, oh, let me pay a little bit more attention to the Nuggets. See how the Avs can hold this thing down the stretch. But you're so right about Virginia. And that's almost more of the conversation today than the Rams actually winning. Because the world believes what we believe. The Rams belong the entire time and not in this play-in nonsense or first four, whatever it was. So that was kind of the storyline coming out of it. And that's what everybody's talking about today. How bad Virginia is. How bad the committee got it wrong. And I had another thought on that. Like, if you're a kid, that's a beauty about being in the first four. The eyes are on you. Last night, the world got to watch Nico's squad play, and they hadn't probably in a very long time. Tonight, they're going to get to watch Tad's squad play. Man, if you're a kid and you're considering going to Virginia and you watch them play, I'm tearing that paper up and throwing the fireplace with all the offers from Virginia. Who would want to go play that brand of basketball knowing you have zero chance of getting drafted into the NBA?
Yeah, it was ugly. It was boring. It was tough to watch. I know you joke about your rec league team a lot on this program, but in all seriousness, your rec league team could hang 14 at halftime.
We can, and we have.
It's just not. It's not difficult. I mean, they weren't just missing threes. They were missing layups. I mean, they were falling all over themselves. It was ugly, hard to watch. And I do want to tread that line today of Virginia's terrible. Virginia stinks, right? Like, we can all acknowledge that. But I also don't want to sell Nico Medved's squad short because they just won a tournament game by 25 points. They were severely underseeded. They were somehow the last team in. Remember, they got in behind Virginia.
Yeah.
These geniuses on this committee said Virginia's a better basketball team than Colorado State. How they came to that conclusion, I have no idea. But it does feel the conversation today, 95% of it, is going to be about how awful Virginia is, and rightfully so. But maybe you and I, and locally, we can keep the focus a little bit more on the 5% of they held them to 14 at halftime. They held them to 25% shooting overall. And Isaiah Stevens only scored 5 points.
Yeah.
When your superstar only scores 5 points and you still win by 25, that means you played absolutely smothering defense. And like you mentioned, Nee Clifford and Joel Scott carried the load on offense. I was really impressed with CSU last night. And that feels springboardy. It feels springboardy.
It does.
That they can go beat Texas in 24, 27 hours.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that game's going to be here before you know it. Next thing you know, you're playing for a spot in the Sweet 16 on Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely right. It was a big win for the Rams last night. Nee Clifford, as we said, he was not only good offensively, his willingness, his effort on the boards, just crashing the glass defensively, closing out when the Cavaliers did make a couple of threes. He was one of those guys chasing down the player at the perimeter. So he was outstanding last night. Both he and Joel Scott had the double-doubles. And, Will, that's a great point, man. The conversation now about Virginia, CSU, even with the win, kind of gets to keep sliding under the radar. Not that Texas will overlook, but that's the conversation more than what the Rams were able to do. And then what you said about Isaiah Stevens. They play that brand of basketball, and Isaiah is firing on all cylinders, maybe even three of the four cylinders. They beat Texas.
Yeah, and you mentioned a really good point there. I think Texas is probably watching that game last night going, wow, Virginia sucks, and not thinking, oh, we're scared of Colorado State. Yeah. And that could benefit the Rammies as well on Thursday out there in Charlotte, because no one is taking away from that game, oh, CSU's a threat. They're taking away Virginia's the worst tournament team in the history of the tournament. That's a good thing for Colorado State because, like you said, they could catch the Longhorns off guard. And at some point, these kids are all 19, 20, 21 years old. You just want to keep playing.
Yeah.
And I understand everyone, oh, quick turnaround. Well, they played Tuesday night and it didn't matter. They won by 25. Mm-hmm. So playing Thursday afternoon, like I said, it's going to be here before you know it. You're going to finish this show tomorrow and guess what you're going to do? You're going to turn on Rams and Longhorns. Yeah. It's going to be here like that. I think that's actually a good thing. You don't want a lot of time off in this dance. You just want to go, 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 stack wins.
That's exactly right. That is exactly right, and that's what you hope they can do. CSU with a nice shot here to make a little bit of noise in what will be Isaiah Stevens's. I mean, their entire starting five. They're all going to graduate and maybe go play in the NBA if you're Isaiah Stevens. But this is the shot for Nico and this squad to make a deep run, and it started last night with a heck of a win over Virginia. 67-42 was the final. That doesn't even really tell the real score, even though it's a 25-point win. They were in control the entire game. I also wanted to give some love. Is it Patrick Cartier, the kid number 12, who made a couple of huge threes in moments in that first half that started to create the separation? And then that's just, it was almost like a moment of, all right, they were stuck 2-2 for what felt like 5 minutes. And then once the Rams started to figure out what it was offensively, especially Nee Clifford, hey, give me the ball. I'm going to post this little dude up because he's too small, and I'm going to get a bucket anytime I want.
Yeah, anytime the 6'8 big man wants to step out and shoot the three, he's got my endorsement. That's a big man who likes to shoot the three. No, but Cartier was wet on a couple of those. And you're right, because that game was stuck like 18-14 forever. Mm-hmm. And it was like, guys, come on. Virginia can't score. Let's pull away. Yeah. And Cartier was a big reason they started to pull away.
I might take your boys at Kent Denver had a nice little high school run this year, didn't they?
Yep.
I might take Kent Denver over Virginia.
No, I was happy for him. They made it all the way to the state title. Fell a little bit short. Oh. But you know what? You play for a ring. That's a good season.
That's right. That's absolutely right. Those kids will remember that forever, Will. Did you ever play for a state ring?
Yeah.
Really?
Junior year.
Dude,
junior year.
Sick.
Yeah, we lost to a kid by the name of Seth Lobato from Eaton.
Okay.
That name may ring a bell because I'm watching Hard Knocks 5 years later with the Miami Dolphins, and their fourth-string quarterback is this kid named Seth Lobato, and I'm like, that's got to be the same kid because I doubt there's that many Seth Lobatos out there. It was Dan Hawkins actually ran him out of CU.
Oh, weird.
And then he went and flourished at Northern Colorado and had a cup of coffee with the Dolphins. Yeah, how strange, right?
I never thought Dan Hawkins would do something like that.
Runner-up junior year.
All right. Hey, that's still a heck of a run. Heck of a run. All right, Rams fans, how you feeling today? Let us know on the text line 303-713-1043. We'll get to the Buffs who are in action tonight. But next, big win over a division rival for Denver last night. A big fourth quarter from Michael Porter Jr. Are we seeing him take his game to another level? And I think it's affecting a relationship on the court. Details coming up next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Josh.
All right, a huge win for the Rams last night. Before we move on to Nuggets, got to tell you, clock is ticking on your opportunity to win $5,000. And all you got to do is have the winning bracket at denversports.com/hoops. Go sign up for our Sport Clips 5K Bracket Challenge. The entry closes tomorrow before 10 a.m. because that's when the tournament will officially kick off. So you fill out a bracket, you fill out several. Why not win $5,000 and have all kinds of bragging rights? Say you beat everybody here at The Fan. That is what is on the line at denversports.com/hoops. Go sign up for that Sport Clips 5K Bracket Challenge and see if you can beat me. See if you can beat Will. See if you can beat everybody and take home a nice, nice payday. All right, Will, let's talk about these Nuggets and what they were able to do. A big win last night against Minnesota. Yep. It's still big, even though they're no Cat, no Gobert, no Naz Reid. They didn't even have bigs last night. But a dominant first half performance and then a huge fourth quarter performance from everybody. But I want to talk about Michael Porter Jr., Will.
Yeah.
What he has done post-All-Star break has been absolutely outstanding. He has elevated his game to another level. He's got back to crashing the boards. He's more confident in his jump shot and his offensive ability. And there's something that I've seen here. And this is just kind of a personal feeling that I've seen being around the team, the way that I've been able to be around the team. I never thought like Jamal and MPJ were like real tight. They didn't have the same on-court chemistry that like a Nikola and a Jamal has. And obviously nobody has that level of it. But like Nikola and Aaron have some really solid on-court chemistry. Jamal and some of the bench guys are starting to develop some really good on-court chemistry. I never saw that from Michael Porter Jr. and Jamal Murray. In fact, I almost saw the opposite. Like some contention almost at times between the two on the floor. Nothing crazy, but just like, hey, I don't see the game the way that guy sees the game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm seeing that change right now in real time. I'm seeing Jamal Murray trust Michael Porter Jr. much more in in-game situations and in real time by just, hey, kicking it out to a corner, relying on a corner three from Michael Porter Jr. rather than Jamal maybe dance a little bit, isolate high pick and rolls with Jamal, maybe even Jamal and Joker, maybe even a second time to get the offense going. Since the All-Star break, they're trusting one another. Jamal's learning where Michael likes to get the ball and allowing him to get to those spots without creating a ton of traffic in that area on the floor. It is beautiful to see because I have never seen it between these two, and I'm watching it develop right now in real time.
Yeah, you make a lot of good points there. First of all, no one expects everyone in a locker room to be best friends.
No.
But when you are watching games, and we've all watched those games, where it feels like Jamal is actively not wanting to pass the ball to Michael Porter Jr., yeah, that does raise some alarm bells that all he wants to do is play the two-man game with Yoke, and it's the greatest two-man game on earth. I get it. But if they're double-teaming Yoke and Porter's wide open in the corner, make the smart pass, yeah, let the kid hit the three. So, yeah, I think that chemistry developing is huge. And I think specifically to last night, Nuggets are down four in the fourth quarter, and they cannot buy a bucket. And you're sitting here going, they can't lose this game without Gobert, as you mentioned. And, of course, Karl-Anthony Towns is out for a while, and Naz Reid. And what do? They lean on Michael Porter Jr., yeah, of all people, to go on a 7-0 run of his own, starts hitting that corner three, comes back, makes a dunk, and then hits a step back that was like a heat check. And it just reminded me that, Josh, they won a title last year without Michael Porter Jr. playing at his best. If he plays like this, they went 16-4 in the playoffs last year. They might go 16-2 in the playoffs this year. And I know people are going to say, oh, come on, we just want him to go back-to-back. Of course we just want him to go back-to-back, but they could be that dominant moving forward. And that three-minute stretch last night in Minnesota sort of lit my eyes up of, hey, we're watching a Western Conference Finals preview. Perhaps. Yeah. You know, we'll see what happens with Oklahoma City and the seeding. Could be the semis. And Michael Porter Jr., Jokic was awesome, but Michael Porter Jr. was the reason they won. That makes a scary team even scarier. And we'll hold off until they throw the parade again.
Sure.
But the dynasty word starts just kind of creeping in your mind a little bit if this dude plays like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're exactly right. And what he's been post-All-Star break, and it's not a small sample, so I was talking 14 games, Will. 20.4 points per game, 7.3 rebounds. He's shooting 43.6% from three.
Wow.
66% from two-point range, and a 92% free throw shooter, which buried a couple of big ones last night to help seal the deal for the Denver Nuggets. So I have been so impressed with Michael Porter Jr. And I will say this, Will, there was conversations that Stoke and I were having around the trade deadline. They're like, if you could go get a star, MPJ is a part of that conversation. I can't say that today. And obviously, the trade deadline's come and gone, but like future trades and acquisitions and things like that. Like, he continues this. He's not only the part of the core, it's Jamal, Joker, Michael as the big three. Mm-hmm. When I could have argued it's Jamal, Joker, Aaron up until the All-Star break.
Yeah, it's a great point because after the title, everyone would have said your big three is Jokic, Murray, and Gordon, and Porter's just kind of along for the ride. And now you're right. It sort of feels like if you have to do big three, it's that. But also, they're just so good. Why don't we just call it the big four? Yeah. Or frankly, let's not disrespect KCP. Let's just call it the big five because it's the best five starting lineup on earth. So it is funny, though. You mentioned that maybe MPJ has sort of overtaken Aaron Gordon. And that's honestly fine with me.
Yeah.
Because what are AG and KCP on the floor primarily to do?
Be defenders.
Play defense. Mm-hmm. And if Jokic, Murray, and Porter can do the majority amount of your scoring, while AG and KCP lock down their best big and their best guard, again, you're not even going to have close playoff series. You're just going to win series in five games. Mm-hmm. So it is really encouraging, and a lot of people last night, oh, they should have won by more because Minnesota didn't have their best players. Guys, it's still a win on the road against a team you're battling with for the two seed.
Mm-hmm.
And Josh, I understand everyone wants the one seed. But what are the odds Oklahoma City even makes it to the Western Conference Finals?
That's a great point.
They could easily lose to an eight-seeded Lakers or Warriors team as the one. They could easily lose to the Clippers as the four. If you're the two, you get home court in the first round, you get home court in the second round, and I'm not a betting man. Well, sometimes. But I would say you probably get home court in the Western Conference Finals because a young OKC team is going to get upset along the way.
Yeah, I actually started thinking about OKC this morning in that same regard of Minnesota is more of a, like, I look at Minnesota, look what they were able to do last night without their two best bigs,
right,
their two best defenders, and then the best defender off the bench also didn't play in Naz Reid. So Minnesota is, I have a hard time respecting them because everybody knows on the show I got a lot of sports hate in my heart for Minnesota everything.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, you have to respect them, and you have to look at them as a legitimate threat because of who Anthony Edwards has become.
He's so good.
Did he push off last night, KCP?
Yeah, we got to talk about that last play.
KCP's on the ground watching the shot go up that could have tied the game.
So there's like 4.5 seconds left, and the broadcast is saying, and I love the broadcast, but the broadcast is saying, oh, they're going to have to heave. And I'm like, no, they're not. 4.5 seconds is an eternity in the NBA. And Edwards gets the ball, and it was that moment of he knows how much time he has. And KCP, was he trying to take a charge, Josh?
I don't know. It kind of looked like it, right?
It's a gutsy time to try to take a charge. And Edwards pushes off and gets a phenomenal look. And the only reason that game was close is because Minnesota hit like four threes in the last minute. That was like, gosh, if they miss any one of those, this game is over. I kind of thought he pushed off, but I'm gonna say it right now. KCP needs to go straight up there. Don't try to take a charge.
You just stand at the three-point line and put your hands up,
because
right?
You're not getting that whistle. Yeah. You're just not. So don't end up with your butt on the floor while Edwards is tying the game. They actually got lucky that shot came up short.
Yeah, Edwards a little tired maybe from back-to-back nights and was short on what would have tied the game up. One quick text here. This is not how the text line works. Some people being like, yeah, you guys wanted Michael Porter Jr. traded, which I said, yeah, we got new information. Opinions change. Another texter, 588, says, you guys are talking like Michael Porter Jr. is the next Michael Jordan. I don't think we're doing that by any means. He has one good game and does what he's supposed to do, and we're giving him all this credit. Well, he had 14 good games since the All-Star break, and he's definitely not Michael Jordan.
Yeah, he's clearly still the third best player on the Denver Nuggets. Let's establish that right now, okay?
Tony Kukoc, okay?
Yeah.
There we go.
He's Steve Curry. He's Dennis Rodman. No one's calling him Michael Jordan or Scottie Pippen for that matter.
Not even close. Keep the text coming in, though, 303-713-1043. The RamosLaw.com text line's always open for you. We're going to keep it going. It's going to be a fun day talking about Colorado teams winning. Up next is the Avalanche, who brought home all 8 points from the road trip and are rolling. Nathan MacKinnon extended his point streak. Miko was the star. We'll tell you what the Moose did for the seventh time in his career. Coming up next.
It's Stokely and Josh on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
4-3 win in St. Louis last night is how the Avalanche wrapped up their road trip. Nice little blink like that. I like to call him Blink 182, Will, just to be different.
Huge blink guy, man.
How can you not be, right?
Huge blink guy.
I actually got to interview Mark Hoppus that night when they raised the banner and all
that.
Oh,
when he came to Ball Arena?
Yeah.
That was cool because he was like, oh, you guys like my song?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Can you imagine being that famous?
Right.
Like, oh, this sports team won a championship because of my song?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they win because of his song. But we all know all the small things became iconic.
Yeah.
So much so that Eric Johnson was like 17 deep. You guys want to sing all the small things?
And then he gave it his best effort.
Yeah. He tried.
Yeah. Shout out to EJ. That was his opening when he just said, Denver. Oh, man. It's one of my favorite lines of all time. But this current version of the Colorado Avalanche, I'll tell you what, Will. They're starting to show me some things that 2022 team that Eric Johnson was on that raised Lord Stanley's Cup a mile high. It's starting to look a bit familiar. With the additions of the new guys, Val returning to form and being the player that he was prior to his absence, getting that top line back together, the additions of Mittelstadt and Walker and Duhaime and everybody that has been contributing. And then, of course, last night, it was Mikko. A hat trick for the seventh time in his career, the third and final, a beautiful play from Val that was set up, and Nathan MacKinnon kept his point streak rolling at 16. The Avs have won 7 straight. They haven't lost since Val and the new guys have been added. They look like a 22 team that is ready to go make some serious noise in the Stanley Cup playoff and bring home some hardware for Nathan MacKinnon in the regular season.
Yeah, I mean, we have to start with Mikko, the Moose, because he gets the hat trick last night, and a little bit like Michael Porter Jr., I'm glad you brought this up last segment, there was people around the trade deadline. Well, what if you could get something big for Mikko? And it's like, how is this guy somehow still underrated?
Right.
He is sixth in the NHL in points. Mikko Rantanen, who some people on social media were telling me they should trade, is sixth in the NHL in points and still absolutely regarded as the third best player on his own team, which he is the third best player on his own team. I'm not going to give you pushback. But to have a weapon like that who gives you a hat trick last night, his goals were all filthy. All three of them were ridiculous. There was not a lucky one in the bunch last night. Perpetually underrated Mikko Rantanen. And I know he does some things at times that drive people crazy. But he is so naturally gifted and so talented that games like last night are a good reminder. You are insane if you don't want Mikko Rantanen to finish his career with the Colorado Avalanche.
I agree with you so much. I heard Mike and Mark talking about that a little bit around that same time, and I'm like, who is saying that? Because if Mikko didn't share the same sheet of ice that he shares with Nathan MacKinnon and Cale Makar, he would be a hockey god on another team, mm-hmm. on another market. You know what he would be, Will? He'd be their Nathan MacKinnon. Maybe a slight downgrade because of a couple other things that Nathan can do in the agility and speed type of stuff.
Right.
He would be looked at in the same regard as Nathan MacKinnon.
If you put him in San Jose,
yeah.
He would flourish. You put him on a bad team, people would be buying his jersey.
That's right.
And there's plenty of Avs fans that buy Mikko jerseys, but more buy Nathan jerseys and more buy Cale jerseys. That's just a fact.
Yeah, 100%. Anyway, so that hat trick was outstanding. I mentioned the steal from Val and then turnaround saw Mikko as just an offensive end turnover, so they're still there trying to get out of that into the ice. And then the second goal, how about Jonathan Drouin, the pass? I mean, he saw Mikko's stick. What are they saying on the broadcast? Like 45-degree angle, you lift it up, and I'm like, there's science and math involved in this?
Yeah.
I thought he just threw him the puck. But it was beautiful from Drouin knowing where he had to put it on the tape, Mikko keeping his stick down on the ice so that the deflection would come. It was just absolutely beautiful. St. Louis, by the way, they're figuring some things out. Mm-hmm. They're fighting for their playoff lives right now. So it wasn't just a rollover by any means. And it's always good to beat Jordan Binnington.
Always a fun night to beat Jordan Binnington. Hopefully he wasn't chucking any water bottles at any of the Avs players last night, marching around the hallway all ticked off. For those who don't remember, in the 2022 playoffs, he found Nazem Kadri after his hat trick, and Nazem was doing a post-game interview on TNT, and Jordan Binnington threw a water bottle at his head. The guy's a great goalie, but has the maturity of about a 12-year-old, always nice to beat Jordan Binnington. You mentioned Jonathan Drouin and the pass he had on the second goal. What a decision by him to come to Denver and realize I need to play with Nathan MacKinnon and resurrect my career. I'm not so sure the Avs will be able to keep him after this year.
Sure.
But you know what? If you go win a Stanley Cup, that's great because he gets to win a cup, he gets to resurrect his career, and he gets to go get paid. That is the perfect rehab project for Drouin, a guy that was taken in the top three of the same draft as McKinnon 10 years ago, 11 years ago, whatever it was. But yeah, let's focus on Nichushkin and let's focus on Mittelstadt for a second, because Mittelstadt scores the other goal last night on an absolute snipe job.
Beautiful shot.
They finally have their second line center. And we've been looking for this. Ryan Johansson was supposed to be the second line center. And who was the cat last year? I mean, I guess Colin Furr at times, but there was even another one they brought in. And it's just no one ever lived up to replacing Kadri. I feel like Mittelstadt is finally replacing Kadri.
I do too.
And that's huge. That's a huge box for Joe Sakic and Chris McFarland to check over there for the Avs. And then Choo Choo, I mean, listen, man. The stats speak for themselves. When the Avs have him, they're a cup contender. When they don't, they're a 500 team that's going to lose in round one. So,
and can't score on the power play.
Exactly. I am really happy for Valentin Nichushkin. I'm also just keeping my fingers crossed for Valentin Nichushkin because we've had two incidents. And I hope he got the help he needed. Sounds like he got the help he needed. But let's just keep focusing on hockey if you're Nichushkin, because he's playing great hockey right now.
You know what I was worried about the most? This road trip that they just went on. And I had the conversation before of like, your habits have routines, you know what I mean? And I was always so afraid, because it has to be the case, that his habit and his routine was hockey and the things that he was battling. So for him to kind of be on the other side of it, at least we hope, knock on wood, right, for Val, it is a great thing, because he is so good. He is, I heard Mike and Mark talking about it, and I wanted to expand on it a bit, of that trust factor. Val being back up on the top line, and Nathan MacKinnon, what did he say? I feel great about this team after the deadline. What they have added in Mittelstadt and Walker and Duhaime, and then getting Val back to come contribute and be on the top line. Now Nathan can be Nathan again. Mikko can be Mikko again. You don't have to worry about Ryan Johansson skating in the mud and you having to pick up the slack that he wasn't providing. You've gotten rid of all that. Nathan MacKinnon just gets to go and be the best hockey player in the world. Doesn't have to drag somebody with him, because they trust in Val. They know what Val's game's going to bring every night. They know where Val's going to be on the ice. I mean, we mentioned it with Mikko's third goal. Turn around, steal, turn around. Mikko's right there because of the chemistry on ice between that top line. It is just added an extra level of who Nathan and Mikko can be, because you don't have to carry guys with you the way they were before the deadline.
Yeah, it's that weight of the world thing, right? It's Nathan not feeling like he has to show up and be Superman every night. And that is going to make him play a more relaxed style like he played in 2022. And ultimately, Cale Makar even won the Conn Smythe Trophy, not Nathan MacKinnon, because guess what? He knew that Valeri Nichushkin and Andrei Burakovsky and Nazem Kadri and all these guys, I mean, heck, Gabe Landeskog was still on the ice. He had plenty of other weapons, and it feels like they have reloaded. And we look at MacKinnon now with this Hart Trophy gap. I mean, the oddsmakers now have him as an overwhelming favorite to win the award. He's minus 230, and the next up is Connor McDavid at plus 440, Nikita Kucherov at plus 470. So unless something goes horribly wrong in these last 15 games, Nathan MacKinnon's going to win his first Hart Trophy. And these point streaks help. I mean, the home point streak is ridiculous. We'll get back to that on Friday night against Columbus. I mean, he's literally tracking down Wayne Gretzky for the longest home point streak in NHL history. But I also think with MacKinnon, that finally getting his due as the best player in the world, he would never admit it. That's got to feel good for him, too. Yeah. Because this is a dude who's been in contention for that title in the last literally 6 years. But it feels like for whatever reason, he's always been kind of glossed over, even in 22. He didn't win the Conn Smythe. Cale did. I think for him, the validation of winning a cup, Hart Trophy best player in the world, and then a second cup, now you're starting to talk about getting into that all-time great. And that's where Nathan MacKinnon belongs at the end of the day.
100%. Yeah, you're talking about legacy stuff at that point for Nathan MacKinnon. So it's beautiful to see. They are red hot. Both the Ball Arena Bros are firing on all cylinders as of March 20th right now, and both in contention for the number one seed to host and be a favorite moving into the Stanley Cup playoff and, of course, the NBA playoff. All right, quarterback in round one. Added a second-round pick, and then grabbed another cornerback in the third round. Would you like that for the Broncos? First three rounds, that's what the latest mock is calling for. Who's the quarterback, and what did it cost to add that second-round pick? We'll tell you next.
You're listening to Stokely and Josh on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Talk a little little Broncos. It's been a big show about, you know, the teams getting after it last night with the Nugs, Abs, and Rams all winning, and we're certainly going to get back to that coming up in the 11 o'clock hour. But let's talk a little Broncos. A mock draft from PFF is the latest, and I saw their move for the Broncos, which I like, but I want to know what you think and what Broncos country feels
like. Okay.
Here's what PFF has Denver doing. They don't make a selection at number 12. They trade back with Philadelphia. They're going to get down to 22, pick up a second-round pick, give up their 12th, and have to give up a third-rounder in 2025. I don't love that, but you are adding a second-round pick. They get Bo Nix at 22. You've moved down and got that slot. Marshawn Kneeland, who is an edge rusher from Western Michigan, becomes the second-round pick that they acquired. And then Kyrie Jackson is a cornerback from Oregon that they selected in the third round. So those are the first three rounds. You get a quarterback, you get an edge rusher, and you get a cornerback. I really like the first two picks. You move back, you add some stuff, you're still getting your quarterback in Bo Nix. They obviously need some help on the defensive line. As good as some of these young guys have become, you're already looking at contract situations for Browning and Benito, I believe it is, in a year. So... Mm-hmm. Well, that's the question. I guess one is, are you in love with Bo Nix? It seems the rest of the world is. And are you down with trading back and having the risk of Bo not being on the board when they finally get up to select?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing I've said from the jump is they have to go to bed on April 25th with a first-round quarterback. And this mock draft from PFF has them head hitting the pillow that night, Sean Payton going to bed in Detroit with a quarterback on his roster. Actually, I don't know if he'll be in Detroit. Someone from the Broncos will be in Detroit. He'll probably be at Dove Valley. But long story short, you get Bo Nix at 22. And you get an edge rusher in the second. That's a heck of a lot better than Mel Kiper Jr. yesterday saying Broncos are taking Bo Nix at 12. Because then you're reaching for Bo at 12 and you still don't have a second round pick. If you can parlay trading back into a 2, I understand you have to give him 3 next year, but whatever. And you add the quarterback you need plus a position of need like edge rusher or tight end or corner in the second round, then yeah, I would call it a win. You ask me, do I love Bo Nix? No, I don't love Bo Nix.
You do not.
But
do you have a quarterback you do love?
Yeah, Caleb Williams. But I have come to terms, Josh, sadly enough, a little more than a month before the draft, they're just not getting one of the big four. So they're obviously not getting Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, or Drake May. But J.J. McCarthy's going to go in the top 5 or 6 now, too. Yep. That's what the combine does. It shoots some guys up. It elevates them up the draft board. There's no way he gets past the Giants at 6. So if we can just wrap our mind around, they're not getting one of those four. Then Bo Nix does become more tempting, obviously, because we had always talked about the big six, and that included Bo Nix and Michael Penix Jr.
Because the first four girls wouldn't let you buy him a drink.
So, yes, and then you got to go to the fifth option. Life works. I would prefer Michael Penix Jr. over Bo Nix, though. If we're just going to debate the two, I think Michael Penix Jr., when I watched him last year, had moments where I'm like, oh my gosh, this guy is special. I didn't really ever have that feeling watching Bo Nix. And I also think Bo Nix being 24 and being in college for 6 years and playing 60-plus games, if he was good enough to be in the NFL, he would have been in the NFL 2 or 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. So why not do this same mock but end up with Michael Penix Jr.?
So at 22 even?
Sure. I mean, if you're making me pick today, all things equal, Bo Nix or Michael Penix Jr., next quarterback of the Denver Broncos, I'm taking Michael Penix Jr.
I was high on Michael Penix Jr. I wasn't as down on him even after the national championship game as a lot of people were because it's football. Everybody gets injured. I know he's got a long injury history, but it's football. Injury rate is 100%. You're going to have to deal with it. I understand it's multiplied at the NFL level, but the kid's been a winner. He's got a hell of an arm. I am intrigued by Michael Penix Jr.
And the medical's checked out at the combine.
Right.
That's so the biggest
right
thing.
Right now, he's okay.
Everyone always said, oh, medical's at the combine. Well, guess what? Everyone said medical's at the combine looked okay.
Yeah. So it's a reach for either at 22. It's a reach for either at 12, but it's also the quarterback position. That's what I keep telling myself. It's different when it's quarterbacks. I can have the conversation of, wow, what a reach that was for a wide receiver at 15 that never did anything and then got traded to the Browns, right? Those things you can talk about. With quarterback, I'm honestly willing to give so many passes because you have to have it and nothing else matters until you do.
Well, and it's a reach of 12. I'll give you that. But 22 feels a lot different to me. I think 12 and 22, you're saying a reach at both. I would give you a little pushback there. Reach at 12, 22, I feel much more comfortable if that means I'm adding a second-round pick. If they were able to go to bed with one of those quarterbacks and a second-round pick, I would call that a win. If they go to bed with one of those quarterbacks and no second-round picks, and the whole NFL world is going, I cannot believe they just took Bo Nix at 12, that would feel worse to me. I think those 10 picks in this PFF mock, I think that would be significant. I think Broncos country would probably feel not great about not getting one of the big four, but would feel better about still landing Nix or Penix in the 20s or even maybe at the start of the second round by adding extra draft capital as well.
How do you feel about young guy getting reps from day one? Because if it's Bo Nix and or Michael Penix Jr., right, let's just say one of them two are here, and then Jared Stidham and Ben DiNucci still hanging around on the practice squad, I don't need to see Jared Stidham. I'm the guy that goes, hey, throw them in. As many live reps as they can get is going to get them up to speed as fast as possible.
You and I are on the exact same page, man. I had this debate with our own Andrew Mason on Denver Sports Tonight, 6 to 7 here on The Fan, and he's like, wow, you got to give them time. They may not be ready.
Time for what?
And I'm like, did they give CJ Stroud any time?
Right.
No, he threw his butt into the fire, and they made the playoffs. Well, okay, they could be Bryce Young. Well, guess what? If it's Bryce Young, then you go 2-15, 3-14, and you still develop him. He still gets some reps under his belt, and you're picking number one next year, and you can get him an awesome weapon to build around. Or if you haven't seen enough, then you can take another quarterback. So, I'm with you. What is the path with Jarrett Stidham? Jarrett Stidham's not hoisting Lombardi in a Broncos uniform. No. You need to throw a rookie into the fire and see what they got. And the best way to learn, Josh, is by playing, not by holding a clipboard.
And I know there's the rule, Patrick Mahomes set behind Alex Smith, Aaron Rodgers set behind Brett Favre. Well, they had good teams.
Yes.
They were able to be competitive while letting a quarterback develop. Those are rich people problems.
Yes.
Unfortunately, we don't have that here in the Mile High City. We got problems. But none of them are rich people problems.
That's a phenomenal point and one I really hadn't considered, and I'm so glad you said it. Putting Jarrett Stidham in the same sentence as Brett Favre is insulting.
Right.
And in fact, putting Jarrett Stidham in the same sentence as Alex Smith is disrespectful to Alex Smith, who had a very nice NFL career. So, yes, you can't say, Stidham's a bridge. He's a real wobbly bridge. He's a bridge that's getting inspected every 6 months because they're worried about the thing coming down. So I just think, if you draft a rookie, you have to get him. Let me ask you this, though. How can we get really greedy? Because some of the mocks yesterday had Brock Bowers.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I'm not going to lie, that gets the Spidey senses up a little bit. Brock Bowers, you look at the Final Four this year, Josh. What did they all have? Elite tight ends. Sam LaPorta, George Kittle in the NFC, Mark Andrews, Travis Kelce in the AFC. Can we get greedy and somehow, some way, have Brock Bowers and Michael Penix Jr. or Bo Nix on the roster? Not or, and. Of course, that would require taking Brock at 12 and then Nix or Penix sliding.
Yeah.
And you don't have a second-round pick, so you'd have to give up either next year's capital or a player. But what about Courtland Sutton? What if you say, I'll give you Courtland Sutton in a third for your second? So you move up around, and a team adds a guy that got 10 touchdowns last year and was fourth in the NFL in touchdowns, and you give up Sutton, but you add Bowers in round one, and you add Nix or Penix the start of round two.
I like this.
Now we're talking, right?
I like this a lot. Okay. I really like that. And actually, we're going to talk more about Bowers later because Stink was comparing him to George Kittle.
Woo!
This morning on the show, so we're going to get into some of that. I like that a lot. You're checking the box of tight end, which they desperately need. Courtland was outstanding in 2023. But again, Courtland's going to be 30 when the season starts. That's another question that we can kick around later on of how many of these guys that are on the roster right now are going to be looked at in the NFL world as over the hill when the Broncos are competitive again. And even if that's in 2025, Will, there's still that conversation to be had. So I like that a lot. That's a great play.
I appreciate it. Yeah, I figure Courtland in a three for a two is appropriate compensation. You're letting me move up around.
Yeah.
But I'm giving you a guy who had 10 touchdowns last year.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, let me move up around for fourth in the NFL in touchdowns. I just think we keep saying Brock Bowers or Bo Nix. Brock Bowers or Michael Penix. Why don't we start saying Brock Bowers and Bo Nix?
I like that.
Brock Bowers and Michael Penix Jr. Let's make it happen.
There you go. Then you could really start to look at 2025 and being competitive with all the money that you're going to get and some of the draft capital that you're going to continue to stack and acquire. Broncos country, what do you think? I love that idea from Will. Brock and a quarterback? Let us know at 303-713-1043. That's the RamosLaw.com text line. Same rules over on Twitch, twitch.tv/DenverSportsCom. Watch the show and hang out in the chat room there. All right, let's kick off quarter number two, telling you how the Rams started so slow but turned it on and are now moving on. We'll tell you how they did it next.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.